Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five thoughts on the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, which was very fun, even though we did kind of get some predictable outcomes. Number five, a lot of teams with upside if they can keep it together next season. I'm thinking about Texas A&M in particular here, in that they played their best ball in the last couple weeks. Obasike was someone who was averaging like 4 points a game before he really found his stride and his confidence. And look, A&M has the resources to keep some of these guys together and keep guys out of the portal. But there are several that if they can keep it together, like even though they might be out right now, you know, if you can keep the nucleus together, Baylor is one of them, but we heard from Pat Nunley that's unlikely, that if they can keep that together, they can really grow. I think that's one of the fun things to watch about the NCAA tournament is, okay, who showed out well for the first game, maybe even the second game and lost, and can really come back and storm next year. Creighton is a team that stands out to me. Well, of course, they're still in it, but Creighton stands out to me as well.
I have them. Well, you're talking about next year, but I did pick them to go to the Final Four this year, too, as a three seed. I love that McDermott, what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so.
I think the if is doing a lot of heavy lifting in this day and age. Yeah. That's the hard part is how can you keep these guys together? And knowing full well that while these tournament games are being watched by millions of people, who are amongst those millions? College staffs from all over the country watching and going, that dude from Creighton looks pretty good, or that guy from, you know, wherever looks pretty good. And so with the portal and NIL, it's just a bigger challenge than ever to keep teams together. But you're right. Yeah, A&M's a great example of this. What a great run and finish, although it came up short. And I really thought once they got it to overtime, they were going to win that game. I just didn't know how Houston, shorthanded with all that momentum swing, how they were possibly going to win that game. And to their credit, they did. But I definitely think there's a great buzz, no pun intended, now surrounding A&M basketball moving forward. Whereas he was a high profile hire, but it just didn't really like launch right away. And you're kind of like thinking, is he like, is this going to be good over? Like,
oh no, I think in, when they started sliding at the end, there were like just
like kind of what's going on,
just a little murmurs.
Yeah,
I love Buzz Williams, and I told this story. It's been documented. He was the gym basically maintenance guy at Navarro College in Corsicana when I used to set up to do games, and I did a show on Wednesday if they played on Wednesday, and he was a great guy. I never would have thought that one day he was a millionaire coach at a couple of different locations and now A&M.
Well, that's why you have to be mindful of the way you treat people, right?
Yeah.
Because that gym guy is turning out to be like the multi-million-dollar head coach at Texas A&M all these years later. But, yeah, I think A&M's got a really bright future that you feel much better about given how they close so strongly. And, yeah, just what a game that was last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Number four, mostly things went chalk. I mean, for the most part, they did. I mean, all the ones and twos are still in. We're still at that point in the tournament, we're at the point in the tournament where, you know, we were kind of hoping for maybe more upsets. But I don't think it evidenced one way or the other. I just think that this is the way that the teams kind of separated this year.
I think that we get caught up in those first and second round or first day and second day shockers. Those are the ones that, like, bring that attention that otherwise – well, it's going to be the same teams in the end, and it might be. I thought it was even despite the game like Texas A&M and Houston, or even a couple of others, where there were really some great games, there were a handful of them, I thought yesterday was boring as hell. I thought it just kind of like, okay, they're up 33, they're up 27, A&M, they're up.
Notwithstanding, A&M Houston was great. But, yeah, and I mean, like San Diego State and Yale was a total
just
blowout.
Just an ass-kicking, yeah.
So, yeah, but, I mean, things have pretty much gone chalk, I guess. What Auburn losing threw a little bit of a wrench into the East, but a very minor one at that. The South was crazy because of James Madison winning and NC State winning and Oakland winning. And so you had an 11-14 there with NC State and Oakland to get into the Sweet 16, which was pretty wild. You know, Grand Canyon, man, what a run for them, man. They made it really interesting against Alabama. That was actually an exciting game. And Alabama just pulled away there at the end. But, I mean, Grand Canyon, that was an exciting, fun team to watch. So they made a little bit of noise.
Scrappers.
Very much so. Very much so.
The Drew boys and brothers
and
out.
Yes, got to mention the Drew family involved in that one as well. And I was thinking, like, oh, is brother going to – hey, got in the Sweet 16, had a little bit of that trash talk. But then again, Scott's got a national championship. So, but, yeah, I was surprised. Did y'all see how big their crowd was? I mean, I guess it's a big school, like in the
Grand Canyon. Yeah. It's a strange.
It's not the
how they're all together.
Typical setup.
Yeah,
but
no.
I mean, they had a massive amount of people
loud
there,
and they're almost maybe the college basketball equivalent of UCF football fans.
Yeah,
like they are when they're there. You know they're there. I'm not saying there's not other rowdy crowds, but it kind of seemed like that's got a little bit of that same vibe.
But yeah, they just had a. I don't know how many people are aware of Grand Canyon University, and they had a massive turnout. But, yeah, there was some fun things, but mostly it went chalk, as you said there. And so not in the way of a bunch of upsets.
Number three, the SEC and the Big 12 were more vulnerable than most thought. Auburn, Kentucky, Baylor got a win and then lost. And then, I mean, there's a lot out there. And, You go in puffing your chest about a conference, and then you don't perform. That's why, Craig, I like to subscribe to your theory that, look, it only matters, you know, like this whole, like the conference is better, and that's true in the regular season. But once the tournament games start, it's about who's across from you. It's about that day. It doesn't matter what happened, you know, in February. It doesn't. Like, it matters
but
about that day.
The Big East and the ACC can hold their heads very high and possibly for yet another week. But, man, they have had a hell of a run with a chip on their shoulder, too, entering the tournament.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you don't have anybody in the Final Four, then who cares how many you had in the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
You know, so, but, yeah, after one weekend, ACC's definitely got the bragging rights. I'd say the other would be the non-Power 5 schools because they have a handful of teams that are still alive. But the ACC's got the most amongst the power conferences. Everybody, I think I did this right. Every power conference could have a national championship matchup featuring just their two teams, with the exception of the Pac-12, because they've only got one team left. But everybody else, it is also Arizona, but everybody else could, in theory, have, like, Iowa State, Houston, and the Natty, or Bama, Tennessee in the Natty, or you know, so, and obviously the ACC's got multiple combinations, but yeah, I mean, it's about matchups and, you know, it's about results, and the SEC and the Big 12, for all of the pomp and circumstance, especially surrounding the Big 12, has not quite lived up to their billing. But I do think if Houston or Iowa State goes and wins the whole dadgum thing, then we're not talking about this, and we're talking about how great they still are and how that's the best league in America still, because you'd have had another national champion. That's really what matters at the end.
Number two, coaches lose and then take big jobs. DeVries to West Virginia. Dusty May to Michigan, which we didn't talk about, but that's pretty huge and has sent the Indiana fan base into a tizzy, because he was a team manager for Bobby Knight, and they thought, well, Dusty May's next job is going to be back home at Indiana,
yeah,
and now it's in Michigan, and then, of course, the Washington State coach going to Stanford.
Kyle Smith,
thank you. So that's already happened, and there'll be more to come in the coming days. Louisville's still unresolved, although I have a friend, Chad Haynes, that a viewer who contacts me all the time and said that he had a friend that was convinced. He's like, Jay Wright's not on CBS this weekend.
No.
He's in Lexington, Kentucky. So I flipped over to TNT. I took a screenshot and said, well, no, he's not ever been on CBS. He's on TNT. He's talking right now.
Yeah.
He's not in Lexington. Yep. And if Jay Wright left Villanova because he wasn't ready to grab NIL for Villanova, it just wasn't his thing. He was ready to be retired. He'd won national titles. He'd done all he can. He's going to go to Kentucky? No. Like, it's going to be even crazier there. So,
I tell you what. Yeah.
Louisville, Kentucky, you know, specifically.
Well, Louisville, Kentucky. Or, yeah, he was in Lexington waiting for them to fire Calipari, take that job.
I think J-Rod is a great ad, and was when they first hired him. He does a great job in those sets. You have your alpha dog names on those sets with Shaq, Kenny Smith, Barkley. And I think Clark Kellogg and Jay Wright are both fantastic to even things out. Very even keel. I like listening to both of them.
Yeah, but to the coaches thing. Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
So Kyle Smith, I mean, I do think that this was something that we should have brought up when talking about Washington State and Oregon State earlier. But for as much as you celebrate them getting that money, they also lost, in Washington State's case, their basketball coach who did a really good job. And now he's going to Stanford, who will be in the ACC. So, you know, for as much as, like, that money's great, you still didn't retain your basketball coach. And we've seen the movement now with coaches, Oregon State losing their football coach and Jonathan Smith. So that money's not a cure-all to everything. It's certainly much nicer to have than not to have, though. And it's putting them in a much better place than they were compared to where we thought they might be. But they're still at a major disadvantage right now. And I think that was evident by the fact that Kyle Smith took that job with Stanford.
Yep. And number one, Greg Sankey's wrong.
Yep.
He's wrong. This was great. Don't mess with it. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it.
Even though a lot of the mid-majors, not all of them, because you have San Diego State and you have Gonzaga, and I might be missing somebody else that are still a part of this, that Marquette are still a part of this. And I love the mid-majors. I love the opportunities. Maybe there's a way for them to come up with an agreement like we saw earlier, where they leave them alone, let them earn their way in, but also don't act like they're some sort of rat because they're inside the house.
But you know where that idea came from, right? It came from his propaganda minister who was just, you know, defending him 2 days before and getting dunked on, rightfully so, for being the PR minister for the SEC when you're just supposed to be an anchor for the SEC. But that just seemed to me what was floated out today, more of like, let's just float it out and see what people think. And then it started off with, like it or not, this is what's coming.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I mean, I know. So I'm just, this is what I'm, I don't know what's coming. Probably Greg Sankey getting whatever he wants to, because he's the big power guy in charge, and he's willing to be out front, unlike with the Big Ten, who's kind of doing all the same things. They're just being quieter and more in the shadows about it. But they're still very much, you know, in step with what he's trying to accomplish, it appears. If the tournament expands, whatever. I'm just so proud of college football, basketball fans on not just eating what they're being served. And so that was so refreshing to see that garbage post from the SEC Network the other day, and for people to go, screw you, quit being a you know, kiss ass for Greg Sankey, and quit, you know, and quit, you know, this and quit that, and just to see the massive amount of pushback against Greg Sankey and the tweaks and the things that are being floated. I know that's how a lot of people feel, but you don't always understand that because it gets drowned out by the fact that there's so many fans that are under this man's umbrella that it can get very noisy, and you've got people in media putting his stuff out there and presenting it a certain type of way. To see just regular old college fans say, no, man, screw Greg Sankey and screw this SEC takeover and screw expanding the term. I love seeing that, and I love that it was so emphatic, and I don't know if it'll make a bit of difference in the long run, but it was just good to see.
You know what happens is that when something like that occurs and people have blowback, legitimate, raw, heartfelt emotions and blowback, what happens is a day or two later, there's a response coming from the machine about their
Like it or not, the tournament's expanding and blah, blah. Yeah, it came from the same place.
Yep, it's no different than in basically anything. Paul, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Garrett Ross, thank you for doing what you do with your Colorado Rockies hat randomly on today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I like that Rockies hat.
It's got purple in it, though, right?
Yeah, it's got the purple. I have almost every MLB team's hat. There's a few, and I just got a new Pittsburgh Pirates hat, but yeah, that's so I got.
Remember, Brando showed us that We Are Family hat back in the day. That was so cool. Emery Winter's here, and he's already working on 365 Sports tonight on the local CW at 10:30.
By the way, Hayden, thanks for your super chat. We certainly appreciate it.
I
answered it in the chat, I'm going to leave it at that for this because it's pretty interesting the question he asked and given the source he found it on. That's all.
There we go. Hayden's good about throwing those up. Retired stockbroker. I know you had kind of a tough weekend. Hope everything's going okay with you. And everybody else that is a part of it every day, please hit the like and subscribe button if you don't mind, and pass the word, share the word, spread the word. I'm David Smoke for Craig Smoke and Paul Catalina. We appreciate our sponsors every single day and adding more. This is 365 Sports, and good night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network.